when we get this going.
I can think of a Bible Institute out in the Philippines that might be able to take advantage of something like this, particularly the evening session, 13 out of the head, of course.
Yeah. Well, and I might mention it, just kind of interesting, I did mention it. I get some interesting phone calls this last week. It was really interesting, the timing. I have a little window of 2 hours between classes so I can work on forum, theoretically. Yeah. And I got a call from Queens, New York, and a fellow that is a pastor in Queens, New York. His name is
Jim Cimbala.
His name is Sammy Goliath.
Like hurricane.
He told me, yeah, I had a call from Hurricane this morning. I don't think anybody here would. Yeah, well, maybe. Do you know Steve Fernandez, Richard?
He's dying, unless he died already.
He did yesterday.
Wow. Steve Fernandez.
I attended his brother's church Friday night. John Fernandez.
Oh, good. Your church out there.
No, he was at Phil. He was at Phil Howard's protege, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and he was at Vallejo.
Vallejo.
Yeah, there are several in that group, and there were several young men at the time.
Not much older than me, if at all.
No, he didn't really a young guy.
Just move right along.
You're welcome. But anyway, this guy called me from New York and caught me right in the beginning of my first hour. Got a chance to talk to him. He had an accent. I wasn't sure what it was. It wasn't Indian, but I couldn't figure out what it was on it. And found out he's, he was born in 76. So he's, late 20s. 30s. 30s, yeah. I can't do whatever I'm supposed to do. Anyway, he pastors a Pentecostal church in Queens. He called me because he picked us up on the internet. And what did he call for? He wanted to take seminary classes on CD or however we could give them to him back there. And he said he's been listening to some of the things and he's been benefited by, a lot of things. It really was interesting. I said, well, just come on out and go to school. Then I said, I suppose you'd have trouble getting online, which for some of the forum, because you're probably working. I mean, I'm so used to having pastors work, I hardly know of a pastor that doesn't, And he said, no, my church supports me. That's pretty good in Queens, New York, with rent. And we got talking, had a pretty good time of fellowship, and I know when he hung up, he was very encouraged. Because it seemed like the Spirit led me to say the right things at the right time, and it was just really interesting. So who knows what Samuel Goliath is going to be, or what's going to happen there.
That was really his name.
He said, by the way, my given name is Samuel. And coming from Indonesia, it's interesting, if you're given the name Samuel, that would be a Christian name in the Islamic Indonesia. And he told me that he didn't give me a window, but he said there were 10,000 Christians that have been killed over there for their faith in that matter. And I know there have been a lot, but that was a figure he gave me coming from there. So, God has got us all figured out. And he's got individuals somewhere, and we'll see what happens. I also know there's a guy I trust that he was really listening, like he told me. He called me from India within the last month. And coming him off the website. And only problem he was King James only guy. I don't know how they got their translation in whatever, Hindi or whatever it was in King James. But anyway, that was a little, it was interesting anyway, too. Okay, we were starting to pray and we didn't. Now, Father, may you bless as we think in terms of the way we function in the body of Christ. It's easy to think about being in an area and a geographical location and saints around that attend different local assemblies. But when we start thinking that we have these people that are out there, and sometimes you just see fit to let us get involved with them in some ways that we wouldn't expect, and we pray that you do good things. We think of saints. We think of saints in the Philippines. We're often reminded of that because of Dan, because of Sherry, and that circumstance. They have friends, and Sherry has family, and we're grateful that they're in the body of Christ, and it's great that we share in it as well. This fellow in Queens, New York, you know the needs of his heart and his diligence to study your word, and you know why it was possible to touch with him. This fellow in India, we think of many others, and we're grateful that we're able to share, and we're not an isolationist bunch. We are in the body of Christ, and there's no isolation when we live in that unity. Thank you, Father. May you bless in this study tonight. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
We're on the bottom of page 20. I can't talk that fast, but we will try to move along in this. 20, we're on the temptations of Christ. As we get into the section on temptations of Christ, we've already looked at two of them. We're on number 3. And we're going to keep your finger in both Matthew 4 and Luke 4. That's the easy way to remember these. And we probably will bounce a little bit back and forth in these matters that relate to the temptation of Christ. And we've already looked at the temptations. Remember, Satan wanted Christ to change stones to bread. Because he was hungry. That was number 1. Number 2, he stands him on the apex of the peak of the temple and tells him to jump off. And he's called to task on that. And now in this instance, he goes to a high mountain. Now, I would like to know where this high mountain is in this matter. I've always thought that every time I read this, a high mountain that can see this. And it's interesting because it does show you that extra abnormal power of Satan to do something in this matter. And so let me grab my verse. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. And I just want to begin at 8. And it says, Matthew 4 is better than Mark 4. Again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain. A mountain, a high one, an exceeding one. How many high mountains are over in that part of the world? It's interesting. You get over there, there is mountainous country. I was just looking at a map of the Middle East, especially with Israel and Jordan and some of that country. And it had marked all of the places or all of the territory over 1,600 feet high in elevation.
That's the highest?
Well, that was just a map. It said anything above 1,600. Mm. And it's really interesting. In Israel, you have just spots, just a few spots in the Western Plateau. You have it. Then you go to the Jordan Valley and through the Aqaba or the Rift, and up on the other side, then everything in Jordan is over 1,600. They're from the lowest point. And so how this works, I've often wondered how this worked. Because what does he see? And shows him the kingdoms of the cosmos. Kingdoms of the cosmos. And the glory of them. Interesting what he's capable of doing in this case.
A mountain is normally representative of a place of authority, isn't it?
It's the governmental authority.
Governmental authority, right.
Yeah. I don't see that here.
Oh, okay.
though it could easily be. Don't forget, what happened to Satan? Where was he? In Ezekiel, you have him in 28. He is in the mountain of God in 28. Yeah, he was in the Garden of Eden, a different one than the one in Genesis.
And that's mentioned too in Ezekiel. Isaiah 14, the mountain is mentioned.
Yeah.
The high places.
Yeah, you have that. I mean, but he wants to be in the Mount of Congregation in Isaiah 14. What do you want to say? The Mount of Meeting? We would go there if we had the time. But anyway, so he shows him in this high mountain all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Now over in Luke, what am I after? 5, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 5. It says, and the devil taking him on a high mountain, he doesn't have that superlative high in this case, showed him all the kingdoms of the cosmos. And what does he say?
In a moment of time.
In a moment of time.
I had reason to look at this recently, and there's some interesting, I noticed some interesting similarities. The take us him, different verb, but show us, same verb in both accounts. But what do you make of the, you've got Anago in one of them, and you've got Parlombano in the other one. They seem to be made of that in this context. I don't know. I mean, my question was, is he out of body? Is he, I mean, did he literally, was he on a ride? Or, I mean,
well,
high mountain, but.
Yeah.
Well, it makes me wonder, you know, Satan is spoken of as the prince of the.
Authority of the air.
Of the air, you know. Did he take him up, you know, in the air to, you know.
Is he above?
Throne, you know, where his earthly power is at, or something. You know?
No. See, we don't, I mean, there's, yeah. We need a little more revelation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
One reason I think there's, I don't think it's an out-of-body experience. And one reason is because of the Anago form. Now, Ago, and I chuckled a little there. I did a message, and I've never heard anybody do a message on the subject. And it was on the leading of Christ.
Because that comes into play when he takes him into the desert, leads him into the desert, drives him into the desert. I mean,
yeah.
That consideration.
And then you get to Calvary, and you go step by step, and you have Ago used many times.
Right.
Yep. And he voluntarily let men lead him. He voluntarily lets Satan lead him in his human nature.
You don't get the impression from the translation he drove him, but that's really not.
No. I mean, Ago was
too many questions to be answered in this hour. I mean, but
yeah, but Ago is a verb that we learn early as lead, and so he was led, and in order for them to lead him, it had to be the person that gave. No, we don't have that on our line. It's our fill in the blanks. But the person that had to let that happen. And the idea of the leading of Christ, when you realize every time that he let a created being lead him, it was a part of the overall plan of God. He didn't need it. And it was, I had a lot of fun working in that. Because there's more than one form of that root. This is Anago. Anago indicated he probably did some of that leading in the other two temptations. Okay, now let's keep reading so we can get where we want to go. In a moment of time, we have. I'm trying to check my memory, and it's not working well here, so I need to look at it. It's stigme. I mean, it's not one of the words for ripe and. You know, I just talk Greek. Anyway, remember in a moment, the twinkling of an eye? And that's that speed, atomos. The word atom is in a moment. This is a little different. It's a very, very quickly he was able to show him. And then it goes on, and the devil taking him up on a high mountain. Showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all of this authority I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And That's kind of interesting when you see this idea of deliverance, paradidomy. That's for those who are at Valley on Sunday, in that matter. And he says, for that is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I desire, I give it. And so you have a manifestation of the desirous will of Satan as he approaches. And that leads us down here. All of these things I will give thee. You have to start thinking which person or which part of his being.
Against the possibility that he's lying here, he is called by the Son. This same designation is used by the Son in other places.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's been suggested, it was suggested to me in a class one time. No, but he's lying. He doesn't have that authority.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with this thing of authority is called a passage. It says he's a what? The prince of the authority
of the air.
Of the air.
Mm-hmm. The other problem would be, if he didn't have that authority, then why would it be a temptation? If he couldn't give him something,
right.
It would be a temptation. If he couldn't do it.
And he's already heard a little bit about tempting someone, in that matter. But it was a tempting. He had to be as legitimate as possible. And that's when it becomes very, very important to us.
So Adam had the authority before he had it?
Before Satan had it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the question is, when did Satan get it? There's some interesting discussion.
That's sometime after the fall, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, not to get too far, but curiously, what form did Satan appear in? Because if he was dealing with the humanity of Christ, and he came as a spirit being, he wouldn't have been visually seen. It doesn't specify what his form was. And as Christ being in his humanity, he couldn't travel at the speed of thought in that unglorified body. So he couldn't go anywhere in a moment of time. So wouldn't it have been sort of a movie screen kind of a thing, to use modern day terms, of something that this person of Satan came and put there for him to see humanly?
A thing that is interesting there to me is that word led. I think he led him again. I think we'd be stretching it a little to make it that kind of an idea, to bring a satanic vision instead of a television, a satanic vision.
Yeah.
In that matter,
why do you say that?
Well, because it's, led. Lead is usually, unless you have a lot of emphasis in the context, and we really do, we have it in, Galatians 5. As many as are led by the Spirit, usually you have the leading of the Spirit there. But that's really pretty clear because of how it leads to the spiritual realm. You've got flesh and lusts and that kind of thing. So I, for one, think this was, I think Satan took a physical form and he led him physically to a place that probably was, whether you want to call it a vision or a place that somehow he was able to fabricate a way so he could see this. But
you lead somebody over rough ground, you help them to get over rough ground, you still have to lead them through the ground. Mm-hmm. You don't lift them over it. That's the imagery that comes to my mind. You lead them through a rocky, shallow stream, you still got to lead them through the water. They've still got to take the steps.
Mm-hmm. But in another part of leading,
lifting them over it.
Right.
The words stood and set are also used in both those passages. In one passage, he says he not only led him, but he stood him up
mm-hmm.
on the high mountain. And on the other one, says he set him on the high mountain. So to me, that means almost like he had full control of that aspect of it, of not only leading him, but setting him right there, standing right there, and then showed him.
Well, 14 says, and that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. mm-hmm. after
right.
Satan departed. Okay. So, I mean,
what's the significance of that?
So, is that like Philip in the baptism? Or he suddenly went to another place?
Well, my inference from this would be that, I mean, at the very least, from verse 14, that you've obviously got an involvement of the Spirit in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to infer that he's not whipped here. I mean, in his
No. No. And see, what I'm doing to Bob when he threw that verse at me, it should be pretty obvious, pretty fast. What's the title? Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I already knew the answer, but I mean,
yeah.
The title is Jesus. It's not about his human nature.
Right. Right.
It's not talking about his divine nature.
Right.
And I, for one, in order to make this meeting and this, understanding that Richard mentioned and these terms, I think that Satan has just as much capability as any of the other fallen spirit beings to materialize a human body. And I think he physically led him.
Satan can't tempt God, and therefore...
He had to tempt the human.
He had to be the human.
Right.
On that. And so we're just jumping. I mean, I just got off on a half of it. But you can start. I mean, we're thinking in these things, and that's what we're doing. I mean, that's why I wanted to do this.
And this is one of the more problematic. The anthropology, both with respect to us, what do we infer about human nature from this?
Hmm.
But what are we taught about our own human nature from this? It's involved.
Okay, let's read on so we can tag this one down. And so he says, "If you will worship me, I'll." Whoops, I'm in the wrong verse. Where do I want to be?
We're down about verse 6.
Verse 6, that's it.
And then 7, yeah.
And then 7. I was at the right place and didn't know it. Mm-hmm. No, I've been reading along in my Greek text and it's all out of alignment here. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And he uses the word, the word worship is an interesting term. It's proskuneo. What that means is get down and put your nose in the dirt. And that's normally used not... you do have it in the third heaven. You have worship in the third heaven with proskuneo. But it, to me, it focuses upon a physical act more than a spiritual. Proskuneo to me is rational in that. And so he says, if you'll just worship me, now let's go back and grab the other and then we'll come back down. With this. And so he says, if you will, verse 9 of chapter 4 of Matthew, all these things will I give thee, and that's the second masculine singular, if thou, the second masculine singular, will fall down and worship me. It's interesting when you look at the text or what it says, if you falling down will worship me. This idea of falling down is a participle. And worship is the main verb. And so he's the idea of falling down. That act of falling down would be an act of worship. Now, that has to be physical. On that. And, I mean, so when you see that, you know, the falling down, the grammar is a little fun there in that matter. And so this idea of worshiping, now let's get down and all these things I will give unto you, if you will fall down worshiping me. I turned that around when I put this in here. I should have translated it more literally, but it would have looked weird. Mm-hmm. Okay, what does that appeal to? If you fall down,
human
nature, mm-hmm. divine. So it's that human nature. Now I have two blanks here for a reason. I think he had to get permission related to this person.
Yeah.
The person had to say, okay. That's what he understood. He's approaching the person, appealing to the human nature. Cool. And so that's the reason I have both of them there. And that's why I have nature after the second blank rather than the first. Now you can think it through. Are these filling in the blanks or something? You can think through. Because I thought it through, and the answers I'm giving you, I think, are satisfactory for what I understand. And then what happens? In the next, in verse 8 of Luke 4, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, title, Jesus. Uses that title of his humanity, given him at his birth. And he says, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so he says, you're going to worship, and the word that we have for worship here is our proskuneo word that we've been looking at. And he says, this is what is written, and he's the only one that you'll serve. Interesting, the word serve is latereo, which is the word for religious service. Temple kind of service on that. And so, some of you, if you're following along in Luke 4, and you know, in here, it's a little bit of a pain, at least in commercials, because it's all over the place on that. And so you can see there, so the issue, Christ says it, and then verse 11, the devil left him in verse 11 of Matthew 4, and the angels came and ministered to him. But you know, there's more details in Luke 4. And Luke 4 goes on, and it says, he says, verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem. Oops.
He led him to Jerusalem.
Yeah, led him. Oops, no, I'm in the wrong verse. It's when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for what? For a season.
Until opportune time. More opportune time.
Yeah, he was going to try to come back. The word season is kairos. And that in 13. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm jumping around because I feel like I'm trying to read four ways at once, and I don't do well juggling 10 things at once.
Now, we have in this passage
NASB.
Three temptations that take place after 40 days.
This is New King James. They've been saying the same.
In verse 2, it seems to imply that during those 40 days, he was being tempted as well. Because it says, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And during that time, he ate nothing. And it said, and when they had ended, he was hungry. So it's like the 40. So he was tempted for, during those 40 days of stuff that we don't even know about. Then at the end of the 40 days, we have this series of three temptations.
We know for sure there are three. On the others, it is a participle that goes with that main verb. You know, the being tempted, it's a passive participle.
Does the grammar compel you to say that these were not three tempted? These three occasions were not spread over the 40 days?
Grammar doesn't help us a lot because it's really in that participle that's the issue.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it happens to be a present participle in that matter. So, anyway, we're playing with grammar again on it. And we in verse 1, we have led without the prefix. Okay, when he says, get thee behind me, Satan, or get thee hence, Satan, is the AV of 10. Let's see, get thee, I'm looking for my, oh, there we are. Okay, he just says, go, lead yourself away. Kupago. You can see why there's some real interesting things around that lead word. Lead yourself out of here.
Show yourself to the door.
It's a different prefix. It's on here.
Well, it says, too, that he left at until an opportune time. Well, if Jesus just got done throwing verses at him, no wonder it was an opportune time. Let's get out of Dodge. You know, Jesus.
Well, undoubtedly, he wanted to come back and try it again.
Yeah, there's in Matthew, there's a text from get thee behind me, Satan. We got a lot of evidence on both sides, but most of it's on the side of behind me. This is the King James, but there's a fair amount of Alexander on the other side of the text.
Now, these textual problems will drive you a little crazy. I just was playing with two of them today, and I kept saying, I feel like I'm doing just the opposite of what I would rather do. It doesn't make any, I mean, it doesn't make a huge interpretive difference in what I was looking at. And we talk textual problems. We try not to talk about a lot of them here, just because it can take a lot of time. And if we start talking about families and manuscripts and all of that stuff, you don't give a care about Alexandrinus and P72 and the monastical manuscripts and all of that. So we're not going to mess with that if we can. Okay, but when he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan," who's doing that? Well, that sounds like the divine nature. He just switches.
This would be a good lesson for some TV preachers, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a person and divine nature here. I am absolutely confident in the divine nature. So the person says, "Yet says this," and you know this thing of time. It almost says, when he says, "Get thee behind me," he said, "End the story. 40 days. That's enough." He doesn't have that much more time on earth. No, he doesn't say that. But you know, he calls Satan Satan. Satan means the adversary.
I'm still a little confused. Why is it the divine nature from the aspect that it seems like if it's the divine nature, there's no need for even discussion. That, I mean, he would...
Just think it.
Just shove him out of the way.
Yeah.
Boom!
He's not an equal. There's no need for even...
No.
Discussion.
No, it's but just I mean when but when God when God uses an imperative, it's more like we want to make imperatives, isn't it?
You doubtless talked about this with you going on, but
we did. I guarantee it.
There are spirit beings watching this. This is instructive on some level to them, that it may not necessarily be instructive to us, or not immediately instructive to us. They're watching this go on, and I'm thinking, he's raised something here. He's raised an issue, and it's answered. It's addressed. I mean, there's some sort of a... I mean, you don't just dismiss things before a judicial bar, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think there's... I mean, the purpose involved, well, I mean, we could... I mean, at least simply say he does it so we get it. As is written.
As an example.
But the possibilities, and we haven't talked a lot about the involvement of other spirit beings in this. You know, I don't know how unfallen spirit beings saw the incarnation. I mean, they accepted it as reality. But I don't know how they had to understand that that person that inhabited that body was the creator of the universe. They had to know that. But I'm sure the demons stirred up a lot of trouble trying to say, well, he's not really, he's somewhere else. I mean, why in the world at the end of it all, in his ascension, did he have to go through all the heavens and out beyond the heaven to teach some spirit beings some things? And don't forget, the temptations of Christ essentially kick off his earthly ministry. They start it. It's a mechanism so that everybody knows. Like you say, we can oversimplify and say it so we know. But no, I think it's beyond that. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to do it. No, he didn't. Not from his divine person. Not from his divine nature. He didn't have to do that. But when he said it, he had all of the authority of the creator of the universe. And Satan. And then however he got where he got, whether he went by thought, the angels ministered to him. You know, they cooked up a couple T-bones for him. And that, they took care of him and met his needs.
Sweet potato fries.
Were they that good tonight?
Something I was also thinking, it's interesting that the Spirit led him to this situation of the hunger part. But I've also looked at it from a human perspective. Often when we go through periods of starvation or we're really hungry, we are often tempted heavily during those times.
For a week.
Have you ever seen the because we're weak, we're concentrating on our physical bodies, and it's so easy to get distracted from spiritual things when we're in that position.
Have you followed at all this gal from George Fox who was up on the mountain?
She
was up there for a week. She went up and solo climbed Mount Hood. Got within 1,000 feet and got
twisted an ankle or something.
Well, what happened? There was a whiteout up at 1,000 feet from the summit, and here she went up by herself. Like you say, she soloed, and she was going to take some other kids from Fox with her, and they didn't go. Her friends. And so what happened is she was trying to come down and couldn't see, took the wrong turn, and ended up on the wrong side to go down, and slipped and went down 40 feet, and lacerated her leg, and it was pretty much, she couldn't walk on it. She thought when she got there, she dug a snow cave and crawled in it, and woke up in the morning, she couldn't walk. On it, she kind of knew what she was doing a little bit, and it was kind of interesting. And it was interesting to read what the account was in the Oregonian today. And that is, she was there. She's a professing believer. I don't have any idea what her background is or anything, but the way she went through things, being up there in this cave, she ends up with frostbite. She's hoping she can keep her toes. The other was not superficial, but she was in, what was it, it's not intensive care. She was in the next critical care for just a little bit. But anyway, it was interesting the thoughts that went through her mind. And she thought that God had abandoned her. She couldn't find God anywhere. And hopped out there in the snow, freezing, didn't have really adequate, her food was going. Water, she was trying to melt snow to get water. It rained, she was able to get some rain in a poncho or something, and so she got enough to barely drink. And but she was able to, when the weather broke, she was able to get up on the ridge. But the thoughts were what were interesting to me. I've been tempted to clip it, but I tend to collect too many clippings. And it was, she wondered where God was, and wondered, you know, she felt abandoned. And then she said there was a certain time she was confident because she had a permit and they should have been able to trace her.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it until 2 or 3 days later. They found her car and they found an empty backpack, which was the one she would normally carry when she was going on long hikes, but going up the mountain. She had, what she said, 13 hours of food or something. So she knew she had enough in case something happened, but not for a week. And she said at one point, she woke up in the morning, the weather had cleared, and she said, I felt God was with me, and I felt people praying for me, and I knew this was when I was going to be rescued. So she managed to get up to the top of a ridge. First time she did, airplane flew, and they didn't see her. The next time she managed to get up to the top of the ridge, and a helicopter came by and they got her. So we're right to the hospital. But it was interesting, the thoughts that went on in her mind, and I have no idea, except she had church people and all of that were praying for her, and she felt after a while she knew somebody was praying for her. She felt if they didn't know that she was lost, they weren't be praying for her. Kind of interesting, isn't it? The way our minds work. We get into it. So, I mean, that's an interesting thought. If you happen to see that Oregonian article, it's kind of an interesting one on it. I just am really curious of where she was, her church background, you know, on that. Rather adventurous in person, anyway. So that reminded me of where we were coming in tonight. Being alone, being tempted, and the only one you had to talk to was Satan.
Standing on a desert island.
So Satan didn't have authority, he had power. to give that authority away. Just like you said.
As the prince of the authority in the air.
I was thinking of a verse, trying to think of a verse, and I remembered in Hebrews. The Hebrews 2:14 talks about the Jesus had to die. If it came, flesh and blood came and died, experienced it, in order to render the power that since that Satan had, the devil, made him powerless over death. So apparently he had power. He had the power of death, according to verse 14.
Set those free, he had done it.
Right.
Under the bondage.
I see Dan diving for it. What is he doing?
Kratos.
Render him powerless, who had the power of death. That is the devil, it says.
But it doesn't refute the exousia notion here. What it does is it adds to the comprehensiveness. I mean, a wonderful texture to it. My reason for bringing that up earlier was there is a strong, there is a monolithic, that's not monolithic, a popular theological construct that we take to task sometimes in these classes that believes that the strong man has been bound. And so he does not have this authority that you see in. And, I mean, that's a discussion for another time, but they do not believe Satan has authority in the current time period. They won't call it a dispensation. But because the strong man has been bound, and they go to the reference in the Gospels. So you'll come up against that.
But his authority is going to be, his authority comes to his head when?
But his authority, he obtained that by causing the death of Adam, right? Because Adam was given the rule over all that was created.
The creation,
In Genesis.
Yeah, we don't know exactly at what point. It had to be post-fall. We know that he had it at the time where Cain and Abel had their experience.
Well, where do you put? I've always wondered this. This is just a wonder that I've had. When he's spoken of as the author of, he's a murderer from the beginning, and a liar, the father of lies. So from the beginning is from what point? It had to be the fall where he caused the murder, the death of Adam, I would assume, because there was no death up until that point.
Well,
I understand.
Yeah, I mean, the question, essentially, did he have the keys to death at that time?
Did he get the keys at that
time? I mean, he had to somewhere in there. Yeah, we just don't know exactly at the point. You know, was it?
Your beginning is an arthrous 9844, which... that interpretation a little bit too.
Well, and then beginning.
Because a murderer would be someone that caused the death of a
right,
someone.
Right. Yeah, and so that works on that. So anyway, let's see. Where did we leave off here? We started so late that we will let you get home when you need to.
15.
So he's. Where did we? Top of 21, you got person and divine nature.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mention Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, you will worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. I'm not going to go to the Greek there where I touched it. Deuteronomy 6:13 says, you will fear, it's the Hebrew word gare, Jehovah your God, and you serve him, and you will swear by his name. It's a little different. In that, and I don't have a note on that as to how that ties up with the Greek translation of the Septuagint. Now, it's interesting, this concept of tempt, I just made a list here. There were those who put him to the test. The word tempt is a Greek word pyrazo, and it has the idea of putting someone to the test. Temptation does not infer that you can sin or will sin. And that's really key. When he was tempted in all points like as we are tempted, he could not sin because he was what? The divine person. And the divine person prohibits the human nature from sinning, and the divine nature itself cannot sin. And so when you try to say, well, theoretically he could have sinned, no way. Absolutely impossible, but it's bound around person. If you don't bind it with person, and so the Pharisees and the scribes are working him over, putting him to the test in multiple places. Don touched this in Sunday school on the way through Sunday morning in this matter. The Pharisees, they were always trying to trap him. They were always putting him to the test. I always laugh when I look at those temptation issues in these passages, because he always wins. I mean, he doesn't have any way he can't win. And they always lose. You'd think they'd get smart pretty soon. I bet, I don't know. They still think a losing record's okay.
No sinner every game.
Human nature.
What's always interesting to me is even unsaved people marvel at the answer to Christ. I mean, that's what's interesting. You know, when you read, you see even unsaved people recognize the brilliance that they can't figure out why, but I mean, they will marvel at the answers that Christ gave to some of these questions.
Right. So yeah, the Pharisees and the Herodians, you have people. I just gave you a list here, just in case you got curious and wanted to take a look at this concept. I mean, this just little list of seven, read 6+ temptations. There's a good forum paper right there. You know, some really good information, plus some. And so the limits, we have already said in Hebrews 2:18. It says, for in himself he suffered being tempted. And he is able to succor them that are tempted. He was tempted, real temptation, but it didn't infer that he could sin. And I remember back in college days, there were those who said temptation indicated he had the possibility of sinning.
There might be other sons, notably, among others. Richard
DeHaan. Yeah. Okay, I didn't remember Richard DeHaan, but I'm trying to remember who it was at Western that did that when I was in college. One of the faculty members was was saying that he... I don't remember. But I know Dr. Van Gilder certainly made certain that everybody knew that that was wrong. And he was the president of the college at the time. And again, I have fun memories of that. And this thing of suffering, it's going to be interesting to see what Chris does in his paper on suffering. I know kind of how he's handling it and where he's going. Should be beneficial. He's working in areas that we cross at other times.
Your point here is it's pretty instructive. I mean, it's very, very interesting. We don't think of these other... Same term, parado. We have temptation of Christ, Matthew 4, Luke 4.
Yeah, it's the same thing right
there. Yeah, and don't realize that you had, there you had Satan, a fallen cherub, working at the job, and then you have essentially a bulk of the religious leaders, I mean, a representation of almost every religious sect of Judaism trying to tempt him, and then it gets down to the hoi polloi, that is the people. They were all trying to tempt him. Trying to prove him to be something he wasn't. Trying to say that he lied. And it didn't work in that case. His person and his human, did I have divine or human in yours? Should be human nature. On A. Got it corrected? Okay. I have it the other way in mind. He's in a state of having suffered. It says, having been tempted, he has the power, and the word power is a present passive. He's been given power. That's one reason I wanted to make sure it's clearly human, because he has power given to him in his human nature. And to help, to aid, to succor, I put Green's definitions, and the demarcation line as to how far, Jesus could have been tempted. He could be tempted in his divine nature, but could not sin as a person. In his human nature, but he could not sin in his person or his divine nature. Well, we're going to have to come back to right in the middle of fun stuff, but I'm going to be kind. Point 7, bottom of 21 is where we're going to return on that. Now, if game plan, so that you know for sure. Next week, we have Monday night. The week after, which is the week of the forum, is going to be a Monday night. We don't set that aside for the forum. We will have two men and a dog visiting that night. I have to pick up at the airport on that Monday of the forum. I'll pick him up from Portland. I'll be picking up Grant and Dan. You'll get to meet one of our Bartimaeus guys, Dan Kelly. And, he's from Santa Rosa. He'll be here. I've wanted him to be at the forum at least sometime for the last 3 years. And he's going to be able to make it. So he's a guy that needs some fellowship in the Word. And I think it will be, I trust, stimulating to him. So we're not letting it go. I mean, we've got our last brace in evening school until June. I mean, we'll be going every Monday unless the rapture comes, and then that will be the best evening school we've ever had.
Amen. No more questions.
No more questions.
Amen.
Well, that won't
no more speculation.
Okay, let's break. It's whatever you need, and then Don will. And if you need the letter, they're here. If you didn't have
tomorrow, I don't know.
Run it off your
I missed that one. I got to find where he's at.
You get on their
theology property.
Get on the website out. They have a location.
You have to set
somebody classes in this thing. I can't see that.
To that website.
Well, however, we're setting Luther got it set up.
Okay, I wasn't here last Monday. 318
there
at the bottom of
the thing I don't want to
marry you. Is
that anybody not come that should be there? Because
I think we're at the bottom. I think we're at the top. I think we're somewhere on page 6.
Page 6?
I believe we're at the page 6.
Theology proper.
And you don't want that. I don't want that.
I'm looking for
it. That's the same thing with
church. Yeah, you know, theology proper. I believe we're on page
6. Going to use that as a
substitute. Somewhere there. I missed last week, so I'm sure
we're here. I don't see any problem with somebody's sick in
there. Sure. Yeah.
But if somebody I use it regularly. I don't know. It's not worth it. We keep it.
Page 6.
That's just my
opinion. I believe it is, yeah.
That is a pretty.